Well, it seems like I just got here. I preached at home and then drove up to Kingsport, Tennessee and preached Sunday morning there and then Sunday evening here. And it's been a long time since I've preached this many consecutive messages, 5 messages in a row. I struggle getting 2 a week. But the Lord is blessed. And I hope and pray that our time together will be profitable to you. And that in some way you've been bettered by our visit. And I would ask you, as I know Brother Larry would also, to pray for us. Pray for us. I don't want to be just another window dressing, do you? I want to be used of God. I don't have to preach for a living. It may not look like it, but I still know how to work a little bit. But this is my calling, and it is a calling. It's a calling of God. Brother Don said, would you be willing to go down to Arkansas and pastor that little church? He said, they've been without a pastor now for over 5 years. And I said, Brother Don, I'd be willing to stand on my head till the Lord came back, but I have to know that's where He wants me. And He made me to know that. All right. Will you allow me to teach you one more song? One more song. As we journey on our pilgrimage through this world to our Father's house, let you and I learn the song of the blessed. You know, our Lord didn't say, blessed will you be. He said, blessed are. Blessed are. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 128. This is the song of the blessed. This will be the 9th of the 15 Psalms of Degrees. They begin in Psalm 120 and run through Psalm 134. If you look above each chapter, it'll tell you up there a song of degree. And I have 4 things for us to learn, or at least be reminded of. This is why they sang the songs. They wanted to remind themselves on their way to worship of all that God had done for them. Of all that God was doing in them. And all that God had promised that He would yet do. And they recalled these things in these songs. I want to talk about the promised blessing. And then an explanation of the blessing. And where will I go to receive the blessing? And what is the result of being blessed? So let's begin tonight with the promise of the blessing. Oh, how this world longs for a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Some evidence of God, some supernatural work. What must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already told, with man it is impossible. It's an impossibility. And believe me, I tried. I tried. You can't do it. And then He gives you faith, and you can't help but do it. He said the Jews require a sign. All religious men and women seek for a sign. They told our Lord as he was dying on the cross, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross. They wanted a sign. That was the sign. He died on the cross. There was a certain nobleman. He was from Capernaum. And his son was dying. And he'd heard about Christ. And he heard he was near. And he ran to him. And he sought the Lord to heal his son. And when he made his request to the Lord looked him in the eyes and said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But he didn't go away. He didn't go away. He persisted. Come down, he cried, ere my son die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now watch this. And he believed the word of the Lord. He didn't need a sign anymore. And I tell you, that's what happens when a man is given faith in Christ. He don't need a sign anymore. He has the evidence in him. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We don't need any more evidence. The blessed are blessed by the promise of God. Blessing is born from the Word of God. I hope you're listening to me. You and I are so ignorant of the things of God. We're so ignorant of the things of God. So full of the things of man that even the simplest things have to be taught us in His Word. Yep. We know so little about God and so much about ourselves. Listen as this believer begins his song. He said, blessed is. Blessed is. Oh, but I've been diagnosed with cancer. Thank God. Thank God. You'll soon be well. You'll soon be well. Listen to the promise. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is there anything or anyone or any circumstance or any situation that's going to keep them from being blessed? Old Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he looked down. I like to picture him standing one of the 8 wonders of the ancient world were the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And that's where I picture him standing. Scripture doesn't say where he was, but he was up here, and I picture him in there, and I picture them fingers, you know, like this, and he's looking down, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I built in the power of my might and for the glory of my name? Oh, God smote him, let him crawl around on the ground like a beast and eat grass for a little while. And then he said, when my reasoning returned unto me, when I come to myself, he said, now I know who he is. He said, he ruleth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, his kingdoms from generation to generation. Now listen, and none can stay his hand or even ask him what he's doing. If he wants you to know, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. He has blessed us. Blessed because our Heavenly Father decreed it. Blessed because He says you're blessed. Blessed no matter how contrary your experience may seem to be. You still blessed. Joseph was blessed in that pit. His brothers throwed him in the pit. Took his coat from him. Throwed him in the pit. Then he was sold into slavery. And then he was locked up in prison. He's blessed. And finally, he's second in command in Egypt. God raised him up, gave him a name above every name, didn't he? They said, we need corn. He said, go see Joseph. Go see him. Then his brothers come over. They come over to visit with him. And finally he revealed himself to them. And he said, you meant all that for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it to bless me, and He did, and He blessed you. Blessed, no matter how contrary your spirit seems to be, blessed for all eternity. Oh, they was talking among themselves in Corinth, and they said, well, I was saved under Apollos. And another said, well, I saved under Christ. Another said, I saved under Paul. Paul said, how foolish. He said, don't you know all things are yours? The world is yours. That's blessed, isn't it? That's blessed. Everything's yours. Don't you know, our Lord said, you're going to judge angels? I can't picture that. But that's what he said. Blessed for all eternity because God purposed and promised the blessing. And when God made promise to Abraham, now listen to this, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And none greater than him. He swore by himself, saying, surely, capital S, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. Surely. And as near as I'm able to see, if the blessing of God, it's a perpetual thing. It takes in the whole of salvation. It takes in all things. Blessed be. There's somewhere in this world a people that God hath blessed. They don't even know it. They don't know it. I didn't. Did you? I had no idea. But they're blessed. They're blessed. Everything's been set in motion and arranged to bring that blessing to pass. I didn't know that. Oh, I thought it was worse. I had a business. Man, I had a booming business. I didn't have to advertise. I didn't have to do anything. They come to me. And I'd sort through them and I'd do what I wanted to do. I had a successful business. And boy, the Lord turned it upside down. He tore it apart. I was so disheartened, I'd worked for years to get that thing set. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going back down to Kentucky. I've had all of Ohio I want. And I left Ohio and went back to Kentucky, and things didn't go right there either. And it just went from bad to worse. And finally I told my wife, I was raised in religion. And I said, I'll tell you what, I think we need to go down here and start going to church. Boy, it really went downhill then. See, we don't know that, do we? We think, somebody told me the other day, I said, their kids went off to school. And I said, is there a church up there? No, but they're going to this First Baptist church. And That's better than nothing. I said, oh, no, it ain't. No, they just went a step down. And that's what I did. I went down and joined that church. I tell you, nothing they said made any sense. Patting me on the back and big tears rolling down their face and tears rolling down mine because I seen them crying. And patting me on the back, is everything okay? And I said, no, everything ain't okay. Well, it will be. It will be. Just all you have to do is believe. Oh my. I didn't know I was blessed. And one day we were having a revival. I decided, well, you just go ahead and do what they told you to do. Quit worrying about it. So I did. And I went up there and my brother-in-law's brother come to visit. And he said, don't go ask him. Don't do that. And I said, why? Just don't. Just take my word. Just don't. I said, I'm going to ask him. So I went up and invited him to church. And he had a pair of cut-off jeans. He had a big old long neck blue ribbon beard. Had it open, drinking it. And I said, won't you come down to the church with us? He said, why? Nobody ever asked me why. And I said, well, we got an evangelist. And he's preaching for us, like before you come here. And he said, what does he preach? I didn't know what to say. I said, well, he preaches the gospel. He said, you wouldn't know the gospel if you met it in the middle of the road. Then I got mad. I said, what do you mean I don't know the gospel? He said, well, if you know it, what is it? And for the first time in my life, I realized I didn't know the gospel. And he started talking. He used to listen to Brother Mahan, Ralph Barnard, and all these old men. And he wasn't a believer, as near as I can tell. But, boy, he had ammunition to tie an Arminian up where he couldn't move. And that's exactly what he did with me. He just slit my throat and left me bleeding, you know. And he said something about God's sovereignty. And I went home and started looking in the Bible to, oh my. It's on every page. I'd never heard it. Never heard it. God's sovereign. He declares the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I do all my pleasure. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and one to dishonor? One he'll make a trophy of his grace, the other he'll make a slop jar. Out of the same lump. That's sovereign. It's not of him that runneth. It's not of him that willeth. It's of God that showeth mercy. And while I was trying to read a little bit about God's sovereignty, I ran onto this word, predestination. And I went down to the church and asked one of the elders about it. He said, the secret things belong to God. I said, yeah, but it's no secret. He put it in his book. I said, when he got done giving revelations, he told John put his pen up. The pen was still writing when he wrote predestined. Oh, I'm just telling you, the secret things belong unto the Lord. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's a bottomless pit. And I ran on to that thing of election. I started looking it up. Finally, one of the old deacons in the church, this had gone on for weeks, one of the old deacons in the church, he said, brother, he said, I hear you asking all these questions. He said, there's a man on primetime TV on Sunday morning deals with these things every week. I said, there is nobody on primetime TV dealing with election and oh, yes, there is. I said, who? He said, Henry Mahan. I stayed home next Sunday. Turned my TV on. Sure enough, Henry Mahan. I told my wife, I said, we're going up to his church Sunday night. I went up and met him. When I left here, I said, this is where we're going from now on. But I tell you what I learned there that I didn't learn from that man in the cutoff jeans. I learned that sovereignty and predestination and all of these things, the eternal counsel of God, all these things are in a person. They're in a Savior. They're in a Savior. It's all about Him. To Him give all the prophets witness. To Him. The blessing. What is the blessing? Oh, the blessing is to be in Christ. That's the blessing. How do you get in Christ? God puts you in Him. That's how you get in. You can't put yourself in. All right, here's the second thing I want us to see. What is the blessing? Well, the blessing of God arises from His eternal purpose of grace. God said, I'm going to save a people through the person and work of my Son for the glory of my great name. That's His purpose. That's what He's going to do. When everything's said and done, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All for the glory of His name. He doesn't do anything that doesn't glorify His name. And then He tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according. According. I don't know how many times, 7, 8 times He says that in this chapter. According, according, according. According to what? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy. What's that mean? He chose us in Christ that we should be holy. Well, that means you wear a certain kind of dress and comes down about your ankles and you can't cut your hair. And no, that ain't what that means. Holiness has to do with the wholeness of God. The wholeness of God. And here's what holiness means, just like God. What does it take to be saved? Have to be just like God. Just like God. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1:15, is the image of the invisible God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God blessed His chosen people by putting them into a union with His Son that they might bear the very image of God. That's what I'm saying. If I'm one with Christ, I'm one with God. Is that right? If I'm one with Him, I'm one with God. Oh, you say, that's talking about similarities. Oh, no, it ain't. That's not talking about having similarities of God. It's talking about being blessed in Christ in such a way as to manifest the very name of God. When God saves a sinner, He manifests His whole character in His salvation. He manifests His justice. His justice. Boy, you talk about inflexible. Whew. I will by no means clear the guilty. Say what you want, do what you want. I will by no means clear the guilty. Being justified freely by His grace. How can a man be justified? He has to be clear of all charges. An all-seeing, all-knowing God is going to look at him, Larry, and he can see clear through you. He can see your past. He can see your future. He can see your motives. He understands your thought afar off. He can see it all, and he can't find anything in you if you're in Christ. And he said, he's justified. And I tell you, if he says you're justified, you're justified. God says to anything, he thought the principalities, powers, people, you name it. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God did justify. And now that law that you feared, that law that had that whip that cut deep furrows in your back, and it just kept whipping, and you couldn't satisfy it, but it just kept hitting you with the whip. You will do this. You will do that. Now that law, the very law that I used to dread, that law secures me now because I'm justified. I'm justified. He exalted the law and made it honorable. When he saves a sinner, it's an honorable thing. Huh? He blessed us in Christ according as he's chosen us in Christ before foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame. Scripture said, unreprovable. Well, you're pretty good, but I got a few suggestions. No. Unreprovable. In Christ. Not in you. In Christ. And that's what salvation is. Be in Christ. No blame. And then, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we might be before Him in love. And what that's saying is before Him being loved. We weren't even born yet. We couldn't love or not love. We weren't even born yet when this was going on. This is before the foundation of the world. This is part of those blessings our Heavenly Father decreed to bless us with. And He said, you're always going to be before me in love because I secured my love in my Son. Oh, thank God. Yes. I love it. I do. I love it. But oh, thank God He don't look at my pitiful love to be satisfied. But He looks at His Son and He sees me and He loves me. No matter what. He loves me. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, yes, I can. Read Romans 8. See what it says. Things present, things to come, life or death, height, I don't care what, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. You want to talk about love, talk about His love. His love. And when you talk about His love and you see His love manifested, now you have love for Him. Isn't that what he says over in 1 John 4? That's where your love's born. When you see the love of God manifested in His Son, you can't help but love Him. You suppose the Father loved the Son? Can you even conceive of a time that He didn't love His Son? Let me read to you a few verses from our Lord's high priestly prayer over in John 17. John 17, beginning with verse 20. Our Lord's praying. This is high priestly prayer. He's praying for His church. He said, and He prayed for His disciples. He prayed for them. And then He says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. He gave them the Father's word, and they received it. And they believed it. And He said, I did that, that they all might be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one. Now listen to this. I in them, Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect, just like God, in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and this just blows my mind, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Next time you start to doubt the love of God, the only time you're going to do that is when you're looking in this black hole. Well, get your eyes out of there and turn it back to the Son. And you'll never doubt His love. What is the blessing? The blessing is to be in Christ and to have Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, no, we're born of God, and I've got this invisible person in me, and I've got this, the Holy Spirit has supercharged me, and I can do... That's not salvation. Salvation is having Christ in here by faith. It's seeing Him who's perfect. He's the perfect Savior. He's the perfect Savior. He's the only Savior. And God reveals Him by faith in here. And He said, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Huh? It ain't about your want to. It's about His want to. It's about His will. And His will is for Christ to be in here. That's the hope of glory. Christ in you. You can't even look yourself in the mirror and think about the Lord looking at you and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You can't do that. You can't look in the mirror and say that. But you can look to Christ in the mirror of God's Word, and you can hear Him say it. I believe that. I believe that He can see me in His Son and say, well done. Well done. Brother Larry brought that wonderful message last night from Philippians 3, 8 and 9. To be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. Oh, my soul. That's the blessing. And all those blessed in Christ, chosen in Christ, predestinated in Christ, will be found in Christ. And they'll be found in Christ, Colossians 3, 2, having all their affection set on things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is. That's where Christ is. And listen, Here's what they know. You're dead. Am I talking about dead in trespasses and sin? No. I'm dead in Christ. When Christ died, I died. That's what he said. You're dead. You're dead. Well, how can that be a blessing? Well, we died in our substitute. That's where the blessing is. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. The blessing is to be in Christ and Christ in you. That's the blessing. Listen to the song in 128. He said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Now all those who know the true and living God fear him. I've heard this explained and explained and explained away, mostly. They fear him with a reverential fear. I'll go along with that. But you cannot possibly know him and not have this reverential fear. He tells those ungodly at judgment, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You didn't know me, and I didn't know you. Think about this. God Almighty, with one single command, created a universe that we can't even see the end of instantly out of nothing. I think we ought to fear him, don't you? By his sovereign decree, the proud waves of the ocean, they just go so far. He said, you can come to him, but you ain't going no more. By his power and wisdom, there's a preserving order to everything that is. Why don't a big old meteor slam into the earth and blow it to smithereens? Huh? Because there's a preserving order in this universe. Yes. All things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. That means they have a continuance. They're not going to fall apart. Every soul blessed by God the Father in Christ obtained an inheritance, the Scripture said, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Everything. Well, what's that mean? That means everything. Everything means everything. All means all. The very providence that orders our footsteps is brought to pass by his divine direction. Boy, I can look back in Ohio and I can see the Lord's hand in it now. I can see it. Boy, I couldn't see it then, though. I tell our folks all the time, I said, take one of them big 1,200-piece puzzles, dump it out on the floor, and hide the picture. Put it down. Pick up one piece out of that puzzle and tell me what that picture looks like. You can't do it, can you? You can't do it. You can't tell it till all the pieces go together. But then you can look back and you can see it. You can see it as clear as a bell. The very providence that orders our footsteps is brought to pass by his divine direction. He's the Lord, he said, of the dead and the living. And to know him is to fear him. Fear not them that can destroy the body. Fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Without his sovereign will and his redemptive purpose of grace, no son of Adam will escape eternal damnation. He won't do it. He won't do it. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Christ said, I am the way. That's how we walk. We walk in Christ. But those who walk in Christ, they walk in the way of grace. Because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The ways of God, we walk in the way of sovereign mercy. He told those Pharisees, he said, you go learn what this means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm not come to call the righteous but sinners to repent. You go learn what that means. Come back, we'll talk some more. We walk in a way of accomplished redemption. Not trying to make myself acceptable to God. God did that in Christ. Boy, we'd mess that up, wouldn't we? Whew. Henry told me a story one time. I can't even remember the pastor's name now. Dr. somebody or other down in Louisville. Anyway, he was down there preaching a meeting for them. They'd been out to eat. They come back to the motel. And they stepped on the elevator. It was a hotel downtown Louisville. They stepped on the elevator, and this old drunk comes up, and he gets on the elevator. And he's staggering around, and he's looking. He said, you look like that Mahan guy. And Henry said, well, I'm Henry Mahan. Oh, he said, you preach them selected ones. He said, I suppose I do, yeah. He said, you saved me 5 years ago. Henry looked at him and said, looks like some of my work. Oh, my soul. We walk in the way of accomplished redemption. I can't imagine what kind of mess we'd make out of that. I just can't imagine. We walk in the way of imputed righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We have to have a covering. And we walk in the way of revelation. We don't know anything. God has to reveal everything to us. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He made known mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world. And he revealed them to his people. And then thirdly, listen as the singer remembers when he found out about being blessed by God. He said in verse 3 of our text, Psalm 128, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Verse 5. The Lord shall bless out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. I've already told you what the blessing is. It's God in Christ. And he's talking here about the Lord's wife, not yours. Not yours. The Lord's bride, not yours, shall be fruitful. She's going to be fruitful. She's going to produce children. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. When Zion travails, sons and daughters will be born. When the angel, the minister of God, came to Mary, he said, Mary, you're blessed. You're highly favored of God. The Lord's with you. Blessed art thou among women. You're blessed, Mary. And the angel said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he's going to be called the Son of the Highest. Oh, that's a beautiful verse of Scripture. But he says the same thing about his church. You didn't know that, did you? This is also true of the bride of Christ. This is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah's going to have a child. But she can't. She's in her 90s and he's over 100. But God said she would. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The bride of Christ, he says, is the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. What's he talking about? He's talking about the people of God. They're free. They're not in bondage, they're free. Free from condemnation and free from sin and free from disability. Free from the law. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. We're born disabled, but we're not disabled anymore. He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance with saints in light. Jerusalem, all of God's elect in Christ are free. Now watch this. And she's the mother of us all. Listen to this. Galatians 4 verse 27. It's written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Who's that? That's physical men and women trying to birth themselves into the kingdom of God. Oh, he said, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. And now, listen to this. We, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. Children of the promise. All those born of God are sons of the Highest. We're all in Christ. All in Christ. He shall bless thee out of Zion. Zion is the church of the living God, whose head and king and husband is Christ the Lord. And I refuse to believe that Christ is sterile. Religious men and women make him out to be sterile. He wants children and can't produce them. Unable to produce children. And even his bride is barren. His gospel seed is sown in the spiritual womb of his church, and sons and daughters are born. Isn't that what Peter said? You're born again. Not by corruptible seed, that word is semen, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. For all flesh is grass. All the goodliness of man, it's like the flower of the grass. If old dandelion come up and shoot up a big pretty yellow bulb, and then it turns to nothing and the wind blows it away. And then he tells you in verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel preached to you is the seed of regeneration. And it's planted in the womb of his church, and she brings forth sons and daughters. There shall never be a miscarriage by the bride of Christ. But he shall see the good of Jerusalem all his days. Blessed of God, children that love their father and love one another, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that begotten of him. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, bring forth children like olive plants all around the table. And then lastly, this pilgrim singer, he begins to think on all the results of being blessed. Verse 6 of our text in Psalm 128. Yea, thou shalt see thy children and thy children's children, and peace upon Israel, God's elect. Let me tell you something. Our family is the family of God. I have a family. I have a natural family. But they're not like the family of God. I love them, but I don't love them like I do the family of God. Our earthly family is just a figure of the truth. My mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, are all those blessed of God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They said to Christ, your mother and your brethren are outside. They're asking for you. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? They that do the will of God. He put his hand and pointed right at his disciples. And he said, behold, my mother and my father and my sister and my brethren. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. And I tell you, don't you dare prefer them in your own family above those in the family of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Family of God are one with Christ. And as often as you do something for the least of these, my brethren, he said, you're doing it to me. You're doing it to me. Well, same goes if you walk away from him, don't it? You walking away from him. He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me, not worthy of me. Only one man could say in complete confidence that he would see his children and his children's children, and you could take that another 50 times. All at peace with God. Every one of them. All of them redeemed. All of them saved. All of them at peace. All of them enjoying fellowship with God. There's only one man who can say that. That's the man, Christ Jesus. And he's saying it about the children of God, not our natural families. Oh, I pray the Lord to save my children. I want him to. He said, the promise is unto you and your children and your children's children. The promise goes out. I'd like to see them all bowing at his feet, all sitting around the table, all bringing to him children, children with his name, and being one with his people. We're going to see it too. We're going to see it too. One day, we'll look around. I love what old Brother Barnard said. He said, I dreamed one night that I died and went to heaven. And he said, I got up there, and he said they were singing the most beautiful song I ever heard. Oh, he said, I wanted to be with him. I wanted to join in the singing. And he said, I looked, and there was a multitude all around. You couldn't even see the end of them. And he said, way up there, He said, I seen an empty seat. And he said, I scrambled up the stairs and I pushed my way around. Excuse me. And he's going all down that aisle and he got all the way down there. And when he got to the chair, there was a name on the back of it that said, Rolf Barnard. Blessed. Blessed is the man that feareth God and walks in his way. Oh, may the Lord use this for his name's honor and glory. Thank you so much.